Welcome to the Good Health Workshop, a show about health, nutrition, cleansing, and detoxification. We will support you where you are and encourage you to reach your health goals. Our purpose is to share information, raise your level of consciousness, and to keep you inspired to transform your life. My name is Donna Peroni. And today we have the most ravishingly gorgeous woman, my special guest, Karen Fitzgerald. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I am so fabulous. I'm so fabulous that you are on the show today and you agreed to do this.
Thank you. Thank you. You have no idea what an honor this is, and I can't wait to tell our story.
Yes, our story, your story. We have so much to chat about.
I know.
And, I ended my little mission statement with to keep you inspired to transform your life. So a lot of times this show tends to be about detox, because that's what I'm into, and eating healthy. But I love when we can devote a show more to the emotional side, to life and our well-being, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, I'm ready.
And I thought we would, before we get into, you know, who you are and all that, I wanted to get right into our quote of the week, which is your quote.
Mm-hmm.
And that quote is, step into your spotlight.
Yes, it is. And that's on my website. And the other piece of that quote is, step into your spotlight or you'll spend your life sitting in the audience. And what I mean by that, when I started to do this, everything, I was asked to be a keynote speaker. This was after my divorce. And I was asked to be a keynote speaker at women's conferences. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? And they said, tell your story and motivate people. And so the story I told, I thought, well, what am I going to talk about? I don't know. But I went back to my journals and I started reading about all the steps I had taken in my life to walk through fear to live my desires. And that had been about becoming an actress, then becoming a singer, then becoming a speaker. But there was so much fear in the way, and I just had to walk through it and do it. And then I got in my own spotlight. Mm-hmm. And I realized what I wanted to say to women is, you have all these desires and all of this wonderful juice that you want to take out into the world, and we have all this fear. Mm-hmm. So how do we unblock the fear, and how do we step into the thing that we're being called to do?
Mm. So I should have read your bio first.
It's okay, go ahead.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
it's a little rainy this morning. It's like the sun's shining, but it's raining as I walked over. So I'm going to read your wonderful bio.
Okay.
So Karen Fitzgerald is a transformational specialist based in New York City. As she has reinvented her own life, she has helped countless others reinvent theirs. Besides a rich theater performance background, she has taught public speaking to executives at Fortune 100 companies around the world. She has a bachelor's degree in speech communication. You do speak well.
Thank you.
And a master's degree in organization and management. She uses all of these talents to inspire people to create powerful lives. Her recent popular webinar with international transformational publisher Hay House, titled Dancing with Desire, inspired hundreds of people to follow their dreams. She has been featured in two books on fearless women, Fearless Woman is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and has been highlighted in the public television special In Her Power. She is a guest blogger on the popular website Women Working, and most recently has been invited to speak at the Gratitude and Trust Conference live in New York City and broadcast around the world. Whether it is coaching, keynote speaking, or creating inspirational theater, Karen's message is to motivate people to live to their greatest potential. Wonderful.
Wow, who is that woman?
That is you.
Get her on the show.
Really, I know.
And I want to segue and not waste any time. You have this wonderful little piece you've done, and I want to share it with our listeners so they can just really get a sense of who you are before we get into more details. So here we go.
Can I just say something about it?
Yes, please.
the way it got written, it's what you call Love Song to Myself. Mm-hmm. And when it got written, I had met Louise Hay of Hay House. And the next day, she talks about loving yourself, loving your body, loving every part of yourself. So the next day, I went home and I wrote this poem. And then I got this little tune to go with it. And the backbeat that you're going to hear was my daughter at my house doing she's a drummer, and she did a backbeat on my chair. So you'll hear it all in the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
If you want a beautiful way to jumpstart your day, start singing with me and begin to play. I love myself. I am divine. That intertwines inside my mind. I love my body. I am delish. If I could wish myself, I'd kiss. I love my brain. I am so wise and no disguise behind these eyes. I love my heart. She is so smart. My love as art will not depart. I love myself. I am divine. That intertwines inside my mind. I love my body. I am delish. If I could wish myself, I'd kiss. I love my brain. I am so wise and no disguise behind these eyes. I love my heart. She is so smart. My love as art will not depart. My love as art will not depart. My love as art will not depart. My love as art will not depart.
Wow.
The reason it is on YouTube under Hay House, Karen Fitzgerald, and the reason it's on YouTube is when I got invited to do the webinar, I sent the webinar people this little thing, the MP3, and they said, "We love this. Will you post it on YouTube, make a home video of it, and just do it?" So that's how it wound up there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. So there is an actual video of you singing it.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I've seen that.
Right. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. And
yes,
Hay House, Karen Fitzgerald. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how we met.
We met. All right. It was on the colonic table.
It always seems to be.
I had worked with a colonic woman up in New England, and she was a raw foods person. And she said, "Is there some place in New York where you live? Is there some place that you can go?" And I found you, I think, via the Sister Goddess community, through the Mama Gina community. And so I went, and you were my, like, three days a week, because they were trying to get mercury out of my system. So I went, and we started talking. And at that point in your life, you were having lots of issues about a variety of things. And I started coaching you from the colonic table.
The poor thing. I should have paid you for those sessions.
That's fine. And I started talking about Mama Gina and the book and all of that. And you were so eager and so adorably resistant at the same time. It was like, "Tell me more." "No, I don't think so. Tell me more." And finally, at the end of the year, somewhere in there, I had said, "Come to Miami. There's a whole big conference." So we go down to Miami, and you're sitting there. And the first night, the Friday night, you're sitting there with your arms crossed like, "Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead, prove it to me." And the second day, she talked to you. You really shared in the room, and you got more excited about the whole thing. And then the third day, with all the women, you were going crazy, like up on the chair, cheering.
I was on the chair, dancing, cheering.
Exactly, partying at night, you know, the whole thing.
And then the real interesting phase happened because I wanted to take Regina Thomas Howard's Mama Gina's course. And so I was back and forth more so with you than anyone else until I found a way, and I did embark on not just her mastery course, but also creation course just in 2015. So thank you, Karen, because it has been a life-changing journey for me to explore myself as a woman in today's world.
Beautiful. I was delighted to be the person to help make that invitation, however resistant you were.
Yes,
and can I tell the story
yes.
about, so what happened, so I'm on the Kalana table, and you said, I'm thinking of signing up for the program, but I'm not sure. I don't know about the money, because it's not cheap. And then you said to me, a friend of mine just recently passed, and she left me some money, but I think I should invest it in my business. And you told me the amount, and it was almost the exact amount of money of the course. And I said, Donna, you might want to go in this direction. And then you did.
And then I did.
Yes. And it's been fabulous to see you there and to see you just explode with your own joy, your own stepping forward, which was the whole point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I have, which I offer pretty much every month, a goddess group at Gravity. And we are reading The School of Womanly Arts by Regina Thomas Hauer. And we read it just about a chapter each month. And I have brought many women into the Sister Goddess community just by doing the book club and just my shift. People around me, women, have been interested in taking on the journey themselves.
Fantastic. That's right. That's passing it forward.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's what I was trying to do with you. And I've done it with, like you, I've done it with a lot of women, because it's important work.
And so let's talk about your story a little bit.
Okay. So I guess, can I tell you a little bit from my solo show? Because I just did my solo show up in New England. It's called Hot Mama Mahatma. And it gets very funny. It's a comedy about my spiritual journey after my divorce. But so in the beginning, it starts out. So I'm going to do a little segment of it for you because it tells a piece of my story. So the way it sets up is I come out on a black stage and the lights go up and I speak to the audience like I'm at an Al-Anon meeting. So you start the meeting, and so I'll start this. And I'm the guest speaker at the meeting, and I'm on stage alone. So here it goes. Hi. My name is Karen, and I'm a... Oh, I know what you're thinking, but no, my father was the alcoholic. And thus my mom was moody, and I thought I had to fix everything. So I became this sweet, happy, always smiling little girl. You know, a people pleaser. Donna, you know what? I brought this water bottle out for me, but you look so thirsty. Let me sacrifice it for you. Got it? So when my Irish salesman, happy-go-lucky father, lost his business, the drinking got bad. Mom thought he was having a nervous breakdown. So I went for help to the newspaper, Ann Landers. She would know, and she did. I ran to my mother. Mom, I've got it. Good news. Dad isn't having a nervous breakdown. He's just a lush. And in my 14-year-old head, I thought, I can fix this. It became my mission. School research projects, hints to Dad, and 5 years later, my chance finally came. My mom kicked him out after years of poverty, car crashes, lost weekends. He had one day to clear out. In a flash, I was on the phone to AA. I got him into rehab that day. And all these years later, he's still sober. So I thought, I can save anybody. Next. And then I married him. And 25 years later, we divorced. And that's where the story goes on from there. So that's the little piece of the show that I wanted to do for you.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, the story went, the bigger story went, after the what I found out before the divorce, I had been in a very lonely, empty marriage, a guy I could fix. I thought if I just love him enough, I'll make it all better. Well, guess what? And that didn't happen. And he was very emotionally, physically, sexually rejecting, emotionally abusive. And what I discovered toward the end when my kids went off to college, he traveled all the time. He was a workaholic. He had his laptop with him. I never looked on it. He was a total porn addict, and he had a dominatrix in another state. Yeah. So having had that spiritual 2x4
over your head and heart.
Over my head and, you know, beating me up with it. I filed for divorce. And then what happened, because I really prayed, like, for the first time in my life, I think I just allowed myself to surrender to something greater than myself, to a higher power, to whatever you want to call it. And I started praying. I started journaling. I was praying for him. And then I started getting these energetic impulses down to the back of my neck and down my spine. They were like ecstatic experiences. And I got them quite a bit for several months in this very deep sort of spiritual center I was in. And then they went away. And then I started chasing them. and I was following spiritual teachers all over the world. I went to Ireland and followed Carolyn Mace. I wound up in India, and I said, please heal my heart around men. And they're doing blessings and meditations and all kinds of stuff. And at the end of the week, two guys laid their hands on my head. Nothing was going on except rage. I was so annoyed at the whole thing. And then at the end, my second chakra opened up, which, for those of you who are listening, it's your sexual center. And I started having married men chasing me all over India. But they were married, and I was raised Catholic. So I was like, no, no, yes, no. So that's essentially what the solo show is about. But when I got back from India, I said, okay, you got to heal this thing, and you got to make it fun. I had done therapy. I had done dance lessons. I had done everything. And I said, make it fun. And three women in 2 weeks said, get thee to Mama Gina's. And that's and then that started a whole 7-year deal.
So we'll tell you more when we come right back. You're listening to the Good Health Workshop on NewYorkTalkRadio.net or CatskillsRadio.com. And I'm Donna Prony, and I'm here with Karen Fitzgerald. And we're talking a little bit about her story and her awakening. So tell us a little more about what happened when you started with the whole Mama Gina journey.
Okay. I walked in in my jeans and a T-shirt. And there's all of these women, 200 women at the time, dancing around in high heels and boas and hot pants. And I'm going, what the hell is this? But I had watched a video of hers a little bit earlier. And I had been reading about this stuff for a long time, which is woman's sexuality. Like, how do you get in touch with your sexuality? Because mine had been so shut down. I hadn't been with a man in years. I mean, and in fact, in my marriage, actually decades. So, you know, and there's a lot of rejection in my body and everything else. So I'm with these women, and with her teachings, I started to wake up to what we have shut down as women and what we've been told to shut down. You know, the culture does it and the images do it. You know, if you're not 21 and a model, then you're done, which is so not true. Just want to say that out loud. I'm much older than that, and it's gotten much better.
Yes.
So going through that journey, just listening to her talk to women, start to awaken women, and it's very hard to describe because she's teaching women about pleasure and what it is to have pleasure and fun in your life. And because we don't even really deal with that, to describe the course is pretty difficult, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I won't describe that, but what happened to me was I took that course. I started doing leadership in the program. Then I did the graduate course, which was called Inner Circle at the time. It's a creation course now. And I took it, and I started asking her questions, like, how do I get touched by a man? You know, I haven't been touched in years. And she gave me an exercise. I won't go through the whole story. But she said, are you willing to do what it takes? And I said, okay. And she said, I want you to find a man. She said, somebody that you trust, but not somebody you have a crush on. And I want you to invite him over and talk to him first, have a conversation, and ask him to come over to your house for 1 hour, and he is going to be fully clothed, and you're going to be naked, and he strokes you with a rose for 1 hour wherever you want. It could be your toes. It could be your feet. And she said it to me in a room of 25 women, and I went, what? So I thought, so I agreed to it. And then I thought, right after I finished, I thought, I'm off the hook. I don't have to do this. I don't know any men. I don't know any men. Well, the next day, one of the women, we call them sister goddesses, one of the women said, I have a friend of mine who's willing to do this with you. And he's a good friend. And so she sends me his website. She said, call him up. I look at his website. He is a painter of nudes.
Oh, perfect.
So I called him. There's a whole funny story around it, which I won't get into. But anyway, I did it. Hmm. I did it. He was very respectful. He was amazing. And at the end of it, a month later, I had my first boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it, right? It's such a great story because a lot of times we remain stuck. whether it's about money, getting married, quitting the job and going after what really is your true pleasure, turn on dreams. And you have to press your edge. You have to do something that might be a little daring, a little uncomfortable, may even be socially unacceptable. But that can create a certain energy that can change your life.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that that's one of the powerful things that she does. And also, before I ever met her, I worked with a therapist, and the therapist said to me, I want you to write a list of 101 shoulds in your life. I should be a good mom. I should be a good wife. I should be a good business owner. I should be whatever. And then she said, you're shoulding yourself to death. So then, I mean, I could have volumes of that, right? So then she said, this was years before, and she said, what do you want? And I want you to make a list of 101 wants. And those were desires. And I had no clue. And most of us do not. Most people don't, particularly most women don't. She said, write anything. So I'm writing, I want red patent leather shoes. I want to go belly dancing, right? I didn't know what it was, but I kept writing those lists. And eventually she said to me, you wrote yourself right down to New York City, because I had lived in New Hampshire at the time. And so Regina just continues in that vein, like, first of all, get in touch with your desires. And so when I work with people, that's the first place I go. That's the first place I was taken to by my therapist. It's the first place I go with people. What are your desires? And then when I coach them, helping people to press their edge, because what you talked about, I've had to press so many edges within this.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm sure. And yeah, I've just had to press so many edges. And so I just kept saying, I want this to be better. I want my life to transform. I want this to be better. And I just kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, in when I first met Regina and she started sharing all of this, I had a lot of resistance. It still comes up, because I was taught having desires is bad. Spiritual, you know, religions and all that, you know, you're supposed to, you know, give to other people. You shouldn't focus on desires because they're endless, and you're just going to always be in a wanting place, and desire is like a sin.
Oh, you were raised Catholic.
I was.
I was too.
I was.
But I think a lot of the traditional religions do that. And what I have found, and it's not just the work that we're doing, but I belong to a spiritual tradition now, because I stepped away from all that, because I discovered in my divorce and the whole spiritual process I was going through that it's much more expansive than most of the traditional religions allow. And I was having a direct communication with God at that point. And so I have branched out, and one of the things that I follow is kind of the stuff that Oprah talks about. It's unity, and unity teaches that desire is important. And it is the message from the divine. It is like the thread that is leading you through your life. And to follow it is important. And we've heard desire is that which connects you to that which is greater than you. And so for me, I give you an example of how desire really helped me. So I had always wanted to be a singer, an actress, a performer. And I wanted it from the time I was a little kid. And I did it. I did 10 years of dance classes, but I was getting to be a teenager, and my mother was worried that I was really going to go into this as a profession. And, you know, I got messages like, well, you don't really want to be a dancer because, you know, they wear too much makeup, and if you wind up to be a singer, you wind up on a bar stool and you might be cheap trash, you know, which actually sounded kind of intriguing to me. But so I walked away from all that, and I went to school, and I got a regular degree and all that. And then I was married with two small babies, and the desire came back again to get out there, to do musicals, to do whatever. I was 32 years old, and there was an advertisement in the local newspaper for a community theater production of Godspell. And my mother showed it to me. She was worried about me because I was getting depressed. And she said, you know, there's this thing in the paper. So I put it aside. I said, I'm a mother. I can't go do this. This is so, you know. So I put the desire aside. But every time I walked by a mirror, I was singing Day by Day. So 2 weeks later, I went in terrified. I was older than any of the 50 people in the room. They were all like theater students with their music in front of them and the whole thing. And I didn't have any music. I couldn't read music, but I could sing that song. And I did the audition. I was the last one up. I sang it. I said, thank you very much. And I ran out the door. And 3 days later, I got a phone call to be one of the lead roles in it. And And I was terrified, and I wasn't going to do it. I had 5,000 excuses, and the director talked me into it. And we talk about resistance. I know the resistance thing. So she talks me into it. I started to do it, and then I got involved in theater. And then I became a leading actress up in New England. And theater became, other than my kids, who I adored, theater became my life. And it saved me as I stayed in this marriage for 25 years. And so desire, mm-hmm. that's how a desire can propel you forward. And was it money? I didn't make a lot of money at it, but it wasn't about the money. It was about, what is your heart telling you? What do you want to be doing?
That's right. Because sometimes people get caught up with, how am I supposed to be the writer or, you know, be the artist if I have a 9-to-5 job? But, you know, if it makes your heart sing, then when you go home, you're going to sit and paint, or you're going to write, or you're going to make it happen, because that is your food for your soul.
Right, right. And it takes all different forms. I know when my father had always wanted to be a doctor. And after World War II, there was no money. He didn't do that. And then he became an alcoholic, which, gee, you know. But what happened, once he got in recovery, he started sponsoring people. He has helped hundreds of people heal their lives. He became a healer. And he made no money at it, but he loved it. Like, it gave passion to his life. And that to me is the point of what desire is. It makes you want to be alive. It gives you passion. It makes you want to step out. And whether you're working that 9-to-5 job or not, like somebody said about writing the book, go home and write one page a day. Mm-hmm. And if you do that every day, you'll have 365 pages by the end of the year. I just went to a big Hay House conference this weekend, and they were talking about that. And they said, the book is your passion. And then you take it out, you self-publish, you do whatever you want. But that's how desire can really propel people.
Well, women in particular, as we know, are starving, right? Give. You're taking care of the children. You are taking care of the husband, the home, a boss. Usually women put themselves last on the list,
right.
And they just don't give themselves permission to even get their toenails, you know, painted, or maybe to take a bath, you know, and just have a little time. Usually they're go, go, go from the time the alarm goes off, and then exhausted at night, and then too exhausted to even have sex. And what happens is they're kind of grouchy, a little irritable.
Yeah.
So how are they really going to give, and what kind of example are they giving to their children if they're walking around complaining and exhausted? Because that's what we do as women, right? We get together and complain about, oh, my husband isn't doing this, or, oh, I'm, you know, just overwhelmed that way. So what kind of life is that exactly?
That's terrible. Yeah. They're shooting themselves to death.
Right. There you go. So I guess when you're working with people, you're helping them to tune into what they want, and then figuring out a way for them to, even if it's writing that one page per day,
mm-hmm.
and the commitment, I assume, is...
Yeah. When I coach people, I mean, I like people who are going to take action, even if it's a little action. It could be a baby step. But one of the things I have found, and I've coached mostly women, but I also coach men, one of the things I have found is giving them permission. They are so looking, you use that word permission, they are so looking for permission. And I give them permission, and I use this word, to be selfish, to be selfish for themselves. And it may start with 5 minutes in the morning, or it may start with that bath at night and lighting some candles. But it's allowing yourself to be selfish, because when you, and people, I used to hate that word because I was raised, you're supposed to be selfless. You know, selfish is the worst possible thing you could be. But if you're not nurturing yourself, you have nothing left to give to other people. You know, you're going to be cranky with your kids. You're going to be cranky with your husband. And I met in some of the sensuality things I have done. I did Tantra and some other things. And in that, one Hindu guy said to me, in some of the Hindu traditions, they have found that when the mother is happy, and so part of it, you know, the men can help make the women happy sensually and in many other ways. But when the mother is happy, then the children are happy, then the father is happy, then the community is happy, then the world is happy. And so it starts, though, with her stepping up for herself and saying, I'm going to be selfish and give myself permission to do that.
Yeah, when a woman is happy in the Sister Goddess circles, we say the whole world is blessed.
Yes, exactly.
So I guess it's tuning in to what it is that will make your heart sing, mm-hmm. and then to take those steps to incorporate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When I was up in New England years ago, I was asked to be in a play about, we took it to the high schools. It was about teenage depression. And my brother had committed suicide 6 months before. And so it was a play to prevent all that. And when we talked to the kids, what we said to them is, if you're depressed, the important thing to find is a passion that draws you, whether it's theater, whether it's sports, whether it's whatever it is, find a passion, because the passion will lift you out of your depression. But you have to give yourself permission for it.
So we're going to end on that now, take a break, and we'll be right back. And you're listening to the Good Health Workshop, and I am Donna Peroni. And yes, indeed, we have the very beautiful Karen Fitzgerald with us today, and we're talking about transformation. So I wanted to give you her information so you can learn more about her. You can go to her website by visiting KarenFitzgerald.tv. So Fitzgerald is FitzGerald. So Karen with an E, KarenFitzgerald.tv. And then if you want to find her on Facebook, it's KarenFitzgeraldTV. And Twitter, Karen Fritz.
Fitz.
Fitz, F-I, oh boy. Karen Fitz, F-I-T-Z-T-V.
And it's Karen with a K.
It's Karen with a K. That's important too.
Yes, it is.
And she has a lot of content on her website. Like if you sign up for your mailing list or whatever, they get like a download they can listen to. And mm-hmm. There's lots of good stuff on there.
I was invited to do a webinar for Hay House last year, and that you can access that as well if you sign up, and it's an hour long, and it's an interesting conversation about desire, dancing with desire, and so that's on there. And yeah, there's videos, I have a blog, all of that, so we'd love to have you come and check in.
Yes, and I would love for you to share with our audience a little bit of what an example of what it's like to be coached by you.
Okay, this is I'll tell you a fun story. So I had a young woman come to me a while ago, and she said to me, so I had her start with a desire list, and I would have all of you start with a desire list. I would have you start with that today, actually. Just have fun with it. You know, put 3 a day on there. But start with a desire list. So I had her do that. And then we started coaching from there. And she was having issues with her job, with men, with money, with her future, all of this. So we took one at a time. And the first one was, she was living in New York City. She had gotten out of school. She was an actress, a singer, a writer. And she was working at a tech job, making $17 an hour. And I said, so what do you want to find here? She said, in all of this, I want to find my voice, which is a huge deal for women. Like, I want to find what I want to say in the world and get it out there. So we talked about, I said, what do you do on your job? She told me. She's making $17 an hour. I said, what do you want to make? She said, I want to make $20. I said, no, you want to make $25. And then she said, and I want to create boundaries with my boss. He contacts me at 11 o'clock at night. I said, okay, great. So I constructed with her a conversation to have with him. So she went and did it and used her voice and got exactly what she wanted, like all of it. So the next thing was the guy. She said, I haven't had a boyfriend in 4 years. I'm really nervous about it, but I'm a very sensual person. I said, okay, I'm going to send you to a sensual class, sensual experience, which is called One Taste. I sent her there. I said, come back to me with your questions. I said, just do the practice and then come back to me with your questions. So I said, some of the guys are going to hit on you. Some of them are going to want sex. You have to listen to what you want. Come back and tell me, and we'll create conversations with each one of those people. So she came back. I talked her through it with the communication skills. She found her voice, and she told each guy, no, I don't want to sleep with you. Yes, I want to kiss you. No, I don't want this. And she got very clear about her voice in sexuality, which is a huge deal for women. It's enormous. I had one guy, very experienced, sensual guy, who saw my show. He loved it. But he said to me, he said, I love pleasuring women, which always shocks me. He said, I love pleasuring women, but I need a roadmap, and women don't tell me. And as women, I think we're really afraid to do that. We're afraid to voice it. We've been told the guy knows, we'll hurt his feelings if we ask, all of that. And I think that that's a huge problem for women and for men in our sexual conversation. So anyway, that was my coaching client. So I did that with her. Then eventually she got the boyfriend. She found her voice with all that. She stayed with him until it no longer served her. And then she got rid of him in a very godly way. And then it was about her purpose. So she kept talking about film. And I said, well, what is it you really want to do? So we kept talking about that. And I was asking her lots of questions and coaching her through it and moving her through the fear. And when we got through the block, she made 2 short films. She applied to the top film school in the country, and she just graduated from the American Film Institute in L.A., right? So she did that. And then the final one, I got to tell you this. So she said, I've been wanting to go to Paris forever. And she said, I got the student loan, and I'm in debt, and I know I shouldn't spend it, but I'm going to Paris. I'm going to spend the money. I said, don't do this. And she said, what? I said, she's good at this. So I knew. I said, just put it out to the universe. I said, hold the intention. I said, and then get in touch with me in a couple of weeks. So she got in touch with me in a couple of weeks. She said, you'll never guess what happened. I said, what? She said, a woman that I babysat for called me up and said she needs a nanny for her 2 girls in Paris this summer, and she's going to pay me $6,000 to come over there. So that is the most joyous story. But it's those kinds of shifts. And this was over a period of time. Mm-hmm. So when you get in a coaching relationship, you really want to lock into a period of time. And it can be 6 months, it can be a year, whatever. But that's how I do it with people. And we start with a desire list and really helping people get in touch with their voice and what is it you really want and how do you ask for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of chitter-chatter in our brains about those shoulds. And it's just, it's important to approach something. Like she wanted a boyfriend or she wanted to open in that world. But the way you coached her to sort of set boundaries with each person, and each person it was different depending on how she felt about them and how she maybe just felt that day. But as a woman, we have the prerogative to change our mind anytime, we do. Mm-hmm. And we have our ups and downs. So to move through life with all of that in mind and to believe, to have faith that there's some kind of guiding force that's leading us through. To pause a bit, mm-hmm. in that case. I've heard of lots of people where they don't have the money to take that trip. And then they keep, I like to say that you romance your desire. Mm-hmm. So I'll romance maybe that I want to go to Paris, and I'll create a vision board. I'll just envision it in my mind, including it in the meditation of myself in Paris. I'll start romancing it by researching online all the places I'm going to go in Paris. And I create that magic, that excitement, even though I don't have any money to go to Paris. Right. And then what happens is somebody or something comes along and it makes it possible.
Right.
And my kitchen, I had my whole kitchen gutted out and renovated actually in 2015. And it seemed so far away. I kept talking about it, but there was always a negativity attached to it because it's like, it's going to be such a big job. So then, of course, it didn't happen because it seemed so far away. Mm-hmm. The minute I created a vision board and I started looking online of actual pictures of like what I wanted it to look like, the cabinets, the floor, I started to have a whole love affair with my new kitchen. And then I got permission to do it. I got my boyfriend to pay for it entirely, $18,000.
Fabulous.
And the turn on was the minute I actually started to make it very real.
Yeah.
And once I started to make it very real, then it all fell into place.
Right. Getting rid of the doubt. Getting rid of the doubt and really allowing yourself the joy of that intention. You did it. Coming to Mama Gina's, because for a year on the table, we talked, and you kept asking me, and you said, "Well, tell me about this, and tell me about that, and what about this?" And you kept you kept going. And it's the same thing. What's been happening to me lately, I mean, I've done all of these different things, and I've known for a long time that I'm supposed to be out in media talking to women and men and talking about all of this. And what's happened is I let go of the doubt. All of a sudden, I've got this woman talking to me about being a transformational specialist on a major radio network around the country. I'm doing this. I did a radio interview last week. It's sort of like, and another woman talked to me about maybe doing something with her reality show. It's just like flowing. It's just flowing. Yeah. But it's taken a while. And part of it was because I had doubt.
Well, we tend to focus, men and women alike, on what we don't want.
Right.
So when I catch myself doing that, I try to change the channel.
Exactly.
And focus more on what I do want.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to move into, you know, with someone coming and working with you, they get a guidance and they get a support.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also important to have a larger network. So within the community of the Sister Goddesses, I find I'm able to be in a world where I have that support.
Mm-hmm.
And women today, we have our girlfriends. Some of us don't.
Right.
Some lost the girlfriends when they had the kids, and they threw themselves into that world, and they let the sisterhood go.
Yeah.
And it's a lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so important that you have a network where you have sort of a support that's unconditional in a
right.
sense, and isn't the let's get on the phone and complain club.
Right. Right. And you have to, there was a big shift after my divorce. I mean, I came from a family where, you know, my mom was raised in an orphanage. And so she was a lovely woman in so many ways, but she was very judgmental. She was very critical. And I came out of that, so I was the same way. And when I went through the divorce and the whole spiritual process, I started reading so many of these books about what you're talking about. And one of them was Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And it was about shifting from the negative to the positive, and really starting to listen to yourself about the way you talk to yourself and about the way you speak out into the world, because your words matter. Like when I go to this Unity Spiritual Center that I go to, it's the same thing. And it's about turning, first of all, we talk to ourselves. If you really listen, if you witness what you're saying to yourself, you would never speak to a friend that way. I mean, it's so negative. So you really learn to catch yourself and to turn into positive thoughts. Which is why we did that song at the beginning, I Love Myself, because that's so important. And as you do that, you start to shift your friends. If you've been in a group of women, so I practiced that book, You Can Heal Your Life. I practiced that book and so many others. And what I started to find is I was shifting the people that I was attracting into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose the negativity. You have to. And you lose, and don't be afraid if you lose negative friends, right? But you start to attract more positive people. And that's what you want, because that helps you to move forward with your intentions, with your passion and your desire. It helps you to move forward, but you have to get into a positive space.
I found also, you know, with my shifting, what happened too is even in like romantic relationship, either the guy was going to meet me where I was,
mm-hmm.
or he was out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a situation recently, not with a man, but I don't want to say because she may hear this, but I had a situation with someone close to me, a female, she's not in a good place. And I made it really clear that I was choosing wellness
mm-hmm.
on every level.
Yeah.
And she was struggling with it, and I was holding a lot of space for her. But then when it came down to it, she really was choosing some activities where if I hung out with her, I would have to go where she was.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that we had to be separate within, like, you know, a weekend away kind of a situation.
Yeah.
And I bless her. I send her love. But I'm so glad that I chose wellness, because I made a nice weekend for myself rather than sort of being with somebody and participating in activities that wasn't really what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes some courage to be able to do that. But I wanted to also, within this topic, like, give people some suggestions on how they can raise their spirits a little bit, how they could tune into how they feel.
Great. So one of the first things that we know about, actually, is to do a dance break. Now, that may sound really simple or really trivial, but the truth of it is it changes your energy. And I do it in the morning. I start up my morning and I dance in front of the mirror, and sometimes it's some little fun, you know, goofy old rock song, and sometimes it's a spiritual song, and sometimes it's like jungle music, you know, and allow your body to really dance it out. Like if you're angry, dance it out, but it really releases so much of that. And I think that that's a great way to do it. If you journal in the morning, but journal, and I got this from a wonderful spiritual teacher, Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks,
yes.
And she talks about journaling in the morning, even if you take 5 minutes, but journal to pick a subject or three subjects and write positive things about it. So just write positively. And you can do this walking down the street. Let's say you haven't had time this morning, so you walk down the street and you have appreciation for, I appreciate the trees. You know, I love the flowers that are out. Start noticing the world around you. And have just positive response to it, but really getting to that positive flow.
And, you know, I would love to have you back to do a different topic concerning all this, which is the dark side of mm-hmm. every goddess,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we understand as goddesses that it's a divine part of everybody.
Yeah.
And sometimes we shun it or it's too scary to go there, mm-hmm. to the grief, to the loss, to the anger, to the rage.
Yeah.
So sometimes we can sit here and we can spend the whole hour talking about positive,
yeah.
you know, reinforcement and choosing wellness and, you know, dancing and all this. But if you are carrying a weight on your shoulders of some wound,
mm-hmm.
and even if you've talked about it and complained about it, if you haven't moved it through physically.
Right.
So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure, right now?
Yeah, why not? Just okay. A little piece of it.
Yeah, when I went, I think it probably has helped that as a young girl, I always wanted to be a dancer. And so I started dancing very young, and I've always sort of had it in my life in one way or another. And what happened when I went through my divorce, your body carries energy. Your body absolutely. So the wound that you have or the grief that you have is sitting in your body. And what happens to us frequently is we sit on the couch with it. And moving it through is so important. When I went through the divorce, what shocked me, people thought I would be dancing in the streets. And instead, every night I was journaling, I'm reading spiritual stuff, and then I would have this like grief or this anger come through my body and literally start pounding the pillows on my bed or pounding the pillows on my couch, and it was great. Like pound it until you're exhausted. So you do that, and then I would sob, like just cry, let yourself cry. I mean, this stuff has to move through your system because it lives in your muscle memory. And actually, Louise Hay talks about that, and that emotion affects your health. And the minute that you can get this out of your body, and it won't be a minute. I mean, this went on for months for me. And, you know, we call it the swamp. But the truth is that I was in, and it was joyous at the same time. Like I would have these terrible bouts of crying and anger and crawling on my floor. And then I would have some kind of peace after that. And then it might start up again the next day. But you're letting it out of your system. And there's not a time frame on grief. There's not, I mean, I was in a very silent, quiet space for, the crying thing probably lasted about a year. But it could go on at different lengths of time and still could come up. So there's a variety of ways that you can do it, but physicalize it and get it out. And you don't have to throw dishes. you can absolutely, you know, pound the pillows or do whatever.
I better tell that to somebody I know.
Yes, somebody was talking to me. I was coaching a client last night. She said, so you mean it's okay that I took that statue and threw it against the wall? I said, well, you might want to just use the pillows,
yeah.
You know. But it, yeah, the physical piece is extremely important. And allowing yourself the feeling. And the counterpoint of that is some women, and I heard this on a coaching call I had recently, some women stay in their victim and live in their victim.
Mm.
And so there's that balance between going to that shadow side, feeling the grief. It's like one of my spiritual teachers said to us, he said, go visit the valley of the shadow, but don't build a condo there. And so there's both. It's that juxtaposition between really allowing the sadness and the anger and all that to flow through your body.
Yeah, sometimes you want to hide out in what we call the swamp.
Right.
And I think it's necessary in certain instances if it's something big and traumatic. And eventually you come out. And so I think it's, again, important to have a support system that's there to cradle you.
Yeah.
So you're not alone in that process.
Okay. At the time of that, with my divorce, because I didn't have a community then. I had no community. And I was very isolated, and part of that was on purpose. And I wanted that quiet time. But I also did have a very good therapist, and I had a coach at the same time. And so I was able, there were a couple people, I didn't cry in front of them. I'm very private about those things, but some people cry better in a group. I have a friend who went to a grief support group for 2 years and sobbed, and it healed her. And it healed her. So there's a variety of ways to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we really covered a lot of ground today.
I know.
So I would invite anyone out there, you know, because we all have work to do in terms of, I don't know, going further, reaching higher, you know, our full potential, like really living to our full potential, you know, having the life you dream of.
Right.
A lot of times we don't even think about that, you know, it's sort of like settling for good enough, and myself included.
I know.
So it's a wonderful opportunity for anyone to be able to give that gift to themselves and to commit to taking some even small steps
right
towards manifesting more.
I was talking to a woman last night, and she's pretty high up in this kind of spiritual world. But she was saying, and I agree with her because I've had it, that once you start changing, once you first it's scary and you go through change, but once you start to do it and you start to get used to transformation, which is what we do, then it becomes exciting and you're looking for the next thing to change into. So, yeah.
Well, that's a great way to end our conversation today. So once again, you can contact Karen through her website. So you can reach her if you want to communicate, set up an appointment, KarenFitzgerald.tv. And I invite all of you also to come down to Gravity East Village, my wellness center.
Absolutely.
Always a good time to have a colonic.
And they treat you very well. It's a really lovely center.
Yes,
really
all
terrific.
My therapists are wonderful. Have an infrared sauna session, a massage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a lot of nutritional consultations these days. So come down and just, you know, so many different ways to just have a better life. I want to thank Lee for this opportunity to have our show. And I also thank Pete Calandra for our music. To find more about me at gravityeastvillage.com or accentonwellnessnyc.com. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.